you haven't, please turn there in Matthew chapter 7 in your Bibles. In the last few messages, we were speaking about righteous judgment and unrighteous judgment. You'll be able to find those messages on the internet if you weren't here. And you can almost preach another message on from verses 1 to 5 on the subject. You can have a series, as a matter of fact. There's a lot in there regarding discernment and judgment and so forth. But as I was plowing through the Sermon on the Mount, listening to again, time and time again, and coming up to this verse 6, that is just kind of in between some instruction from verses 1 to 5 and then 7 to 11 or 12, you have this verse that's almost, it's not there just, sticking out like a sore thumb, but it really kind of stands alone. Just out of nowhere, he shares this powerful verse. And you say, what do you mean powerful? I mean, Christ, Jesus, is attributing, animal-like to human beings. Now, I don't know about you, but that's powerful. And as I was pondering upon this, I said, Lord, I've touched on verse 6 in the first message on judge righteously. I'm sure it's okay to move on. Verses 7 and onwards, it pretty much positive verses, ask and shall be given, knock and the door shall be open. This verse 6 is a bit, and it was like the still small voice of the Holy Spirit said, Charlie, verse 6 of Matthew chapter 7 is just inspired as John 3:16. Preach the word. Amen. Don't be ashamed. So I'm not ashamed. It's just a hard saying. Preach it. Amen. It's there. You need to preach it. So I entitled the message, A Verse That Must Be Preached. Amen. I struggled with naming it. And the Lord just used that. A verse that must be preached. We'll go before the Lord one more time, we'll read the verse, and we'll get into the message. Father in heaven, oh Lord God, we're so thankful for every word of God that are in the pages of this book. Father, we are living in a day where it's itching ears and not many. Father, there are still a few around about us that are preaching, rebuking, exhorting, marking out. But sometimes, Lord, it's this preaching is not popular. The message I'll preach this morning is not popular. Sometimes, Lord, humanly speaking, for a preacher, you don't make it easy. But your word is true and it's holy and we submit to it. We must be faithful. And Lord, I ask and pray that you'd help us understand what this means. Help us to understand what you're trying to say, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us apply this verse. There's some instruction in here. May the Holy Spirit of God communicate, Lord, to our hearts these precious verse. And Father, I pray, as my brother did pray, Lord, this morning, if there's be anyone here, Lord, if there be anyone here that is not sure about their eternal salvation, I pray for them. That, Father, the Word of God, the Gospel will get a hold of their hearts. And they will be receiving it. And they will be finding it valuable before their eyes. Father, and I just pray that you would exhort us believers to hearken to your word in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's read it again in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you or tear you to pieces. Jesus has just finished giving some instruction on how we ought to probably properly judge others, judging righteously, not hypocritical judgment. But now in verse 6, we see another instruction, and we see here, give not and cast not. We see in first place the commission. There's no doubt if Jesus has given us some instruction on not to give or cast that which is holy or that which is precious, we can only simply come to the understanding that he has given us a commission. Every single believer he's commissioned us to give. Those that have received wisdom, to give wisdom. Those that have received the gospel, to share the gospel. But in this verse, he says, you need to be very careful into whom you share it with and how you share it with. In Luke 10, we see Jesus sends out 70 disciples. Now, for the sake of time, I've got some verses on the screen here for the sake of time, of course, because we'll be turning into a fair few passages of the scriptures. So allow me to fly through these verses in the way of introduction. But in verse 1 of Luke 10, notice what the Bible says. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city, place, whither himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I will send you forth as lambs among wolves. And Jesus sends us, every single one of us, out with a warning to be cautious. When we go out, there's going to be some animals out there, and he's talking about people. Notice in verse 10, but into whosoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. He's actually said to the 70, look, if they don't receive you, continue to make your way. And he's letting them know that the kingdom of God is reached out to that city. So we see that the gospel is actually given in four gospels and mentioned in Acts chapter 1. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The command, the commission is to go. And Mark 16, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In Luke, we see, and that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in the name, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witness of these things. In John 20:21, then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even I send I you. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. We see a commission given to disciples, to the church, but we see it given with caution. Careful. You're lambs among animals. There are people out there that do not want to hear the gospel, but more, they're the enemies of the cross. And Jesus is not discouraging us from sharing the gospel. He's simply saying that we ought to have, as soul-winning Christians, as spirit-led believers, discernment to know when to stop. And to know when to let go and move on. This would be something that the Lord actually reminds us time and time again throughout Scripture. In the first place, I want you to see the contents now. I want you to see the two things that he mentions here. He mentions something that is holy, and he mentions something that is like a treasure, a pearl. And what was holy in the Old Testament was something that was separated under God, something that was different, peculiar, something that would be set apart, if you will, and offered as a sacrifice to God, something that was holy for God. In other words, it was something precious. And the Scripture records a whole heap of precious things for us in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Peter, if you want to turn there, chapter 2, have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, we see that we have a precious Savior. A precious Savior. That who is holy and precious. That's what we have. That's the possession that we have. as believers. We have a precious Savior. And we see here in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, what's that word? Precious. And he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Verse 7, unto you therefore, which believeth, he is, what's it? Precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And to those that believe on him, the Bible says, he is precious. We have a precious Christ, a precious Savior that we need to be careful who we continue to share him with. It's precious. But not only a precious Savior, but precious blood. There was no plan in the special song this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And the Bible talks about this precious blood, how some have trampled on it by their strong rejection of it, their fierce rejection of the gospel and the precious blood of Christ. Notice, if you go back a chapter in verse 18 of 1 Peter, look what he says there, for as much as ye know, by the way, if you wanted to just simply give a title to the epistles of 1 and 2 Peter, one of the themes you'll find is precious. Precious faith, precious Savior, precious blood, precious, altogether he's lovely, amen? It's altogether precious. Notice, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but, I love that but, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spotless, the sinless Lamb of God, the precious blood. We weren't redeemed with tangible things. We weren't redeemed with money or valuable things such as carnal things of this world. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, which is flowed from Emmanuel veins, God with us. This is precious. The sinless God manifested in the flesh. So be careful how you offer this precious thing that we have, and is precious. We see not only the blood of Christ, but the promises of Christ are precious. Notice verse 4 in 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter, please. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious what? Promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, God promised us sonship, being heirs of Christ, joint heirs with God. The promises of being the children of God. Behold, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of God. The precious promises that God has given to us. He says, listen, these are holy. These are holy. Be careful with these holy things that I've given you. Precious Christ, the precious blood, the precious promises, the word of God, summed up in the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see not only he mentions holy, these holy things, but pearls, something that is valuable. It is the wisdom of God found in his word. If you turn to Proverbs 3:13, we'll have a look at that quickly. Proverbs 3:13. Notice what the Bible says there. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire, not even to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are a ways of plentiness, pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is the every one that retaineth her. This is the greatest treasure, the wisdom of God. This pearl, valuable, valuable, not only precious, but valuable, the most valuable thing that we ever have on the face of this planet is the Word of God. And the proverb says nothing can be compared to it. Amen. Valuable, precious. We see the contents of this, but we see the characters. And he first begins to say, give not that which is holy to the dogs. He's not talking about the physical animal here. He's talking about people that are dog-like, that don't find the gospel to be precious. They don't find the gospel, or the Christ, or the precious blood, or his precious promises to be valuable. These animals were vile and unclean animals. In the Old Testament, they'll keep them out. The hogs and the dogs were left out, especially those dogs that were vicious. Exodus 22, verse 31, notice what it says there. It says, and ye shall be holy men unto me. You shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. Ye should cast it to who? The dogs. The dogs wouldn't eat precious things, holy things that were sacrificed to God. You know, when we think about this, we think about what's precious. The Lord has given us a symbol of the Lord's table. That's precious. That bread that symbolizes the broken body of Christ, and the juice, the wine, grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Christ, that's precious. You wouldn't give that to a dog. You wouldn't. The dogs will eat the scraps. The dogs will eat those things that are vile because they're vicious animals themselves. Dogs weren't given holy things to be eaten. What's Christ talking about? And by the way, Paul mentions that in the epistles. He says, beware of dogs. Who are they talking about? Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and find out. Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he says there to the church. He says, finally, my brethren, and beginning from verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. And if there was a theme in the book of Philippians, it would be rejoice. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is, what's that word?
Safe.
Sometimes you might hear a consistency or a hobby horse of marking out people, or marking out the latest heresy or the prosperity gospel teachers and all this, but it's safe in the day that we live in. It's not grievous. Sometimes it can be hard, but hey, at the end of the day, we know that it's a good warning.
Amen.
It's not bad. It's safe. He says, beware of who? Dogs. And then he goes to explain or define who the dog is. Evil workers, beware of the concision. Go, look at verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with our conversation always being Bible.
Amen.
There's nothing
Amen.
Wrong with our conversation always being about eternal things.
Amen.
You got your modern day preacher today that are preaching the prosperity about health and wealth and how to set you, I'll give you some principles and how do you set yourself up here on earth. I don't want to set myself up here, man. I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to go. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. Our conversation is in heaven. Well, if it's precious to you, if it's valuable, this beautiful thing here is precious. And, you know, these dogs are not usually ones that would come and make themselves manifest in such a way that they are evident to stay away. The angel of light masquerading as angel of lights, they look nice, but they're not. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They have leaven that is poisonous to the soul, and simply saying to the church, hey, listen, these are still people that are teaching that you can be saved by the law. And don't we have that a lot going on today? These are the concision, the people that will get you to be circumcised, to be saved. That's why they call them. These are the ones that cut, you know, they want to cut you. They want to glory in your flesh. Stay away from them. He even said to the Galatians, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That you that have begun in the Spirit made perfect in the flesh." No. We're saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone.
Amen.
And it is the grace of God that teaches us to deny all ungodliness. Oh, the grace of God can do far more than what religion can do. Religion bounds people up to live a nominal worldly life. That's what it does. Not a Christ-like life, a worldly life. That's religion, if you follow that. And a lot of people are just being simply affected by it, by the standard of the law, but God wants us to be holy people. Amen?
Amen.
Holy people, saved by grace and grace alone, understanding how precious He is. Precious. But these are the dogs that taught that you can simply... And by the way, I really believe that losing your salvation is another heresy doctrine.
Amen.
Doctrine of devils. That put fear in people once again to maintain their work, their salvation by works. Now, can I just say this something to you today? If we can lose our salvation, then that very doctrine contradicts the very word salvation. It won't be salvation if you can lose it. How is it? Losing your salvation contradicts the very word and undermines the blood of finished work on the cross and the blood of Christ. Now, God is able to save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
God has the power to save us and keep us.
Amen.
But they want to teach this alongside of their prosperity gospel to put fear on you so you can keep giving, keep giving, keep giving to their mansions and jets and lavish lifestyle. Yeah. I'm sorry, but the world is full of professing Christians are falling for this ecumenical movement, if you will. And those that once were strong are adopting to this. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with it. Under the banner of let's win people for Christ. What about the dogs and hogs? That are, listen, God is not cautioning His people for nothing. He's actually given them warning because these are the people that will want to tear you up. He's actually giving warning. You say, is this a doctrine of hate? No, of God. It's a love. It's warning. And if there was a vicious dog in my backyard, I'll tell you not to go there. Don't you see those beware of dogs on the fence sometimes?
Yeah.
They're for a reason. And it's almost like the prophets of God, the preachers of God, the holy men and women of God, those that warn their children, warn their class, disciples, or those that they have a sphere of influence, are not the bad ones. They're just giving you warning. That's all they're doing. because they're vicious.
Yeah.
So these are false teachers. They're teaching heresy. They have this prosperity gospel. They mind earthly things. They're wrapped up with this world instead of being wrapped up with Christ and the things of God. They're the very same dogs that have crucified Christ. They don't want anything to do with him. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 22:16. Notice, this is a double reference, by the way. David sung it, but it's a double reference. It's prophecy that had taken place. Notice what it mentions there. For the dogs have come past me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Wow. At that day, the day of Calvary, there were many, many dogs roaming around that place, wagging their heads, mocking and scoffing our dear Savior. And then we see not only those that had crucified Christ, but we see those who bluntly reject the gospel. Have a look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, and look at verse 12 with me. This is the end of the book. Can you believe it? The end of the Bible. Again, God warns us about the dogs. Isn't that amazing? That's how vicious they are. Notice what he says in verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates in the city. By the way, this is a byproduct of a blood-bought Christian.
Amen.
This is not saying that you need to do his commandments to enter in. You need to be saved by works. It's the same almost correspondent verse with Matthew 7, verse 21 on the Sermon on the Mount, when he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father is to be saved by the blood of Christ. And the will of the Father is to be in Christ and walk in the foreordained works of the Lord, to be looking like him. But notice those disobedient ones that have disobeyed the gospel, have not repented and trusted Christ, and have not followed the Lord. Notice what the Bible says there in Revelation, if you will, verse 15. For without are who? The dogs. And the sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And by the way, that's the main motivation of the dogs, is deceit. And lies, and hypocrisy. You know, once again, he is marking out the religious rulers of the day. This would have been hard hitting. The more and more they would have been grinding their teeth, I'm going to get him. Because he speaks truth of their heart. But he was only warning his disciples. He was warning those that were around him. He loved them. Because those that were around the disciples were ready. You know what Paul said in the book of Acts in chapter 20? As soon as I leave, and he was talking to elders and preachers and pastors, he says, after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in. And he says, even some that are among you. Can you believe that? That's how sly and cunning the dog is. And he says, beware of dogs. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. The character. But then we see the pigs. The pig is no doubt one also that is considered an unclean animal. The pigs were unclean, corrupt and polluted, profane and obscene animals. They would symbolize those that would not know the value of the Word of God and its wisdom. In every sense of the word, it's reproof, it's correction, and it's instruction. The pigs are the scoffers of the word of God, those that scoff the word of God. Have a look at 2 Peter chapter 3 quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? These pigs undermine the word of God. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Notice this verse 5, for this they willingly are what? Ignorant. Willingly. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. It's talking about the flood. But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of who? Ungodly men. The same people that scoffed Noah and God in that day are the same people that scoff God and his preachers today. And because there will be no flood, there will be a fire, because he promised that he won't flood the world again. But God is coming with judgment, with fire, against the ungodly, against those that undermine the precious promises of the word of God. You know, God values his word more than a human being, and rightly so. Amen. Because God is God. God is God. And by the way, if it weren't for his word and the breath of his mouth, we wouldn't be here today. The reason why you and I exist is because of the breath of the mouth of God. That's what Job said. Because of the mouth of God, the word of God. And these sick people want to undermine and willingly go against the word of God, leading many lambs astray, many Christians astray, causing doubt and fear in their hearts, like they did with the church of Corinth. And that's why Paul said, listen, if there's no resurrection, if Jesus is not coming back again, then everything that I'm doing is in vain. But it's not. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And there are many pigs, scoffers of the word of God, that wish to undermine the word of God. But we see also, second, a pig is like a scorner who despises reproof of the word of God. Notice Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. Have a look at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself, what is it? Shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. But notice the contrast here. Reproof not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will what? Love thee. Wow. You see, the contents is a holy thing. The pearls, the precious thing, the valuable things, the characters, the dogs and hogs. But now we see the consequences. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. First of all, they trample them. They don't know the valuable thing. A pig doesn't know it. It just, tramples and tramples and tramples all over it. And can I say this? If we keep casting our pearls or precious things before those that don't want to hear it and have made a clear stand against God and hate God, then stop casting those pearls. Because all they're doing is trampling over it. Gives them opportunity to blaspheme God's name, God's word, and look at God's people. You keep casting, you keep pushing, you keep giving when God says stop. Stop. The truth of the matter is they will not only trample on the word of God, but they will trample you. Yeah. Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And God doesn't want us to continue with those fools of people that undermine the word of God and blaspheme very like they are just so clearly. They're not doing it out of ignorance and because they don't understand. I remember my mom and particularly my mom, she went ballistic when I told her about the things and decisions I've made and how I became a Bible-believing Christian. But in her mind, she was thinking that I'm part of the cult. She's thinking I'm the wrong one, she's the right one. I persevered with my mom. I knew she wasn't the enemy of the cross. I just knew that she was just misled and led astray. Man, but she was aggressive. But in her mind, she thought she was loving me and trying to protect me. May God give us discernment. Who are the ones that really are the hogs and dogs? Because there could be some that express some vehement persecution like Paul, but deep down they're thinking they're doing it for the good. And by the way, and we'll get there in a moment, even a heretic, God says give him two chances and then leave him alone. Because you just never know. There's still hope. But once they continue to reject and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no hope. Because the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is a sin that can never be forgiven. But on this side of heaven, we would never know. What are we told to do? Back off. Let go, even it perhaps with those that you consider the ones that you love and you're trying to reach and you know that they're confused and misled. There are times that God even wants us to back off, not to blaspheme the name of Christ. Look, everybody has a time of departure. The Bible says the consequences here is they will trample under the word of God, and they will rend you. They will turn back and they will rend you. They will tear you apart. Everyone, no doubt, has a departure. We're all going to die. And most of the disciples in the New Testament and some of the prophets were martyred. But why go before your time? You don't have to. You don't have to engage with someone that seriously is doing greater damage and you're entertaining that damage and can lose your life for it. Paul the Apostle said, my departure is at hand. John the Baptist had a time of departure, but that was God's timing. We all have a timing. And what I'm trying to say is we need to avoid unnecessary persecution. Even Jesus himself, the Bible said, slipped away because his time was not yet. He would find a place to get out of the hostile crowd. And beloved, I tell you, sometimes it gets really hot and tough if you're going out there obeying the Great Commission. Sometimes it gets hot and tough. And if you're standing on the side of Christ and you're telling him about the Lord, it gets hot. At times, you've got to know when to pull back. Knowing when to stop. He says, don't give, don't cast. Know when to stop witnessing, even correcting. Do not try to win an argument or prove a point. You must be discerning between the sincere seeker at that time and the serious slander. The slanderer. And by the way, it's amazing how you see how Jesus dealt with some of these people. You know, he'd answer a question with a question. Because he knew. He knew what they were up to. He knew that there were people that just wanted to catch him out. He didn't really care for truth. And when he did answer their questions, it was for the sake of those disciples that were around him. I love, you just see the way Christ handled people. And you learn from that. And the Spirit of God that is within us will teach us how to reach others. Know when to stop. Even Paul admonishes Timothy. Please have a look at 2 Timothy. We're almost at the end. 2 Timothy. Have a look at verse 23 of chapter number 2. Verse 23 of chapter number 2. Notice what he says there. But foolish and unlearned questions, what does he want us to do? Avoid. Knowing that they do gender strifes. Only cause trouble. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the what? Truth. Wow. Over here, the Lord, through the inspired word given to Paul, to Timothy, says, look, this is how you need to handle some things. And he even says to Titus something very similar. By the way, verse 26 says, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, this is the work of the devil. And some of them, by God's grace, can recover. Amen? But we can't make the situation hostile, even more trying to win an argument or a debate. God help us. God help us. It's not about who's right. It's about the souls of men and them knowing truth. And if that's not their time, we need to know when to back off. Yeah. Notice in Titus 3, verse 9 to 11. Titus 3, but he says, avoid foolish what? Questions. Again, he says the same thing. And genealogies and contentions and striving about the law. For they are unprofitable and what are? Vain. Same thing, he says. But look at this in verse 10. A man that is a what? Heretic. After the first and second admonition, reject. Knowing that he that is such is subverted. That word is like is inside out, it's twisted. And sinneth, being condemned of himself. So even the people that oppose themselves, condemn themselves by rejecting the truth of the Word of God. God says, give them one chance, two chance, then back away. Because if you do not repent, if they do not trust God, God, oh, forget it. You cause unnecessary trouble. Now, can I say this? The gospel brings trouble anyways.
That's true.
But we don't want unnecessary trouble. Because there are many people that were martyred because of the gospel. It's sometimes inevitable. But there are other times where we can help it. And Jesus is saying here, he's not only saying something that we ought to be wise in our reaching others, but he's really saying and making a contrast, hey, the gospel's holy and precious and valuable, and there are people that hate God, and it's a reality. He's also making a contrast that, well, don't be feeble, simple-minded, that the whole world's going to get saved. Hey, I've got information for you. The whole world's not going to get saved. And if we read on just a moment later, verses, couple of verses down, we find that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. To me, that's prophecy. That's reality. And you know what else it shows us by looking at this verse? God doesn't need our feeble methodologies to reach people. He doesn't need us to put a jumping castle and face painting and rock and roll and all this. The gospel saves. The sheep hear his voice and he gives them eternal life. It's music to their ears once the Holy Spirit of God is working in their life and calling them, and they respond out of their free will and say, yes, I'll tell you something. You don't have to push them. You don't. They see that it's precious and it's valuable. When it was time, my mum prayed. I prayed my mum through these obstacles and these seeds of doubt which were embedded by false religion. And she finally got her face in the Word of God. Things begin to open up and make sense. God began to speak to her heart. I said, Ma, you know, you can do what I did. I went in my room and prayed. She said, do I have to go in my room? Can I do it now? I said, you can do it now.
Amen.
You can do it now. My mum was a big lady. And she went down on the tiles and bowed her head before the Lord. She's the very first person I ever led to the Lord was my mum. You don't need methodology. Using worldly means to reach people. And all in the number, and under the name of we want to reach Christ, we want to reach people for Christ. Well, Christ don't need you to do it that way. You got the Holy Word of God, the gospel. You have the Holy Spirit. You have prayer. You have holiness to stand firm. And God will do it.
Amen.
We don't need to manipulate people.
Right.
And by the way, you only breed false professors. That's all you do. That gives them no hope. Do you know when I was reared up in the Catholic Church and I was baptized as an infant and confirmed and took my first Holy Communion, I thought I was a Christian. I really, honestly, with all my heart, thought I was a Christian, even though I was just, forget it. Living in sin. I really thought I was a Christian. Well, I wasn't a Buddhist. I wasn't a Muslim. I was a Christian. Oh, not the way God wanted me to be a Christian from His Word. When I heard that gospel for the very first time in my life, just simple gospel. Mate, I couldn't wait. I went home and I just couldn't wait. You know, it tells us that there's power in the gospel. In the gospel, there's power in the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And in saying this, let me show you a wonderful contrast. Just a brilliant contrast in closing. Now, I'll tell you, if anyone has made me marvel along with Jesus, it's this lady from Canaan. Have a look. In Matthew 15, we're closing with this. Matthew 15. Oh, I'm sorry. We've still got some time. I'm going off that clock, and that clock stopped at 5:30. I've been stopping for 15 minutes. But we're still doing good. Last passage, and this is going to encourage you to no end. I mean, this contrast, what a contrast. Have a look in Matthew 15. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. These places were predominantly known to be Gentile places. And he beheld a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. That's a sermon in itself, by the way. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And he said, truth, she said. Truth. Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was at the Sermon on the Mount. She said, truth. Notice what she goes on to say. Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And we're talking about these Jews that looked at the Gentiles as outsiders, the outcasts of society, and were called not those vicious dogs that we're talking about this morning, but the little dogs, the outcast, the heathen, not God's people. And notice this contrast, if you would. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to them that received him, to them gave ye power to become the sons of God, or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. He sets a big holy banquet for the children of Israel. And they say, no, thank you. And they want to get rid of him. And now God is saying, they're the dogs. You know what Jesus was trying to do here? He knew exactly what was taking place. He knew her heart. Now don't send her away. He knew what was exactly what was going to take place. You know what she was saying? Just give me the scraps. I'll take anything. Even the dogs take the scraps. I'll take that. Wow. Here the Jews have the whole counsel of God and some, and the precious promise given to them. And here you have a lady that just wants the crumbs. Lord, I'll take whatever you give me. What an attitude that we all should have as the Gentile people. Man. You know what was amazing? She made Jesus marvel. The second person I see in the scriptures that makes Jesus marvel. The first, the centurion, and now this Canaanite woman, Gentile woman, saying, Lord, I'll take the crumbs. Yeah, you know what she was saying? I don't deserve this holy thing. I don't deserve this, but Lord, I'll take anything. She was saying like the one of the centurion, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my house. And she's saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to eat of the crumbs of this banquet, this holy banquet. Even the crumbs, Lord, are given to the dogs. And if I'm a dog, I'll take it. Whoa. And that ought to be the heart of every single one of us to say, God, I'm not worthy of the precious book, the holy truth. And always submit ourselves under thus. I'm not worthy, but you love me. And your grace is even extended to me. Once was an outsider of the commonwealth of Israel. You have broken the partition wall. Now have joined the Jews and Gentiles alike through the blood of Christ. How precious. And beloved, if we are going to be a people that will honor God and stand firm, then we must be a people that always remember that we are not worthy. And we'll gladly submit under the precious word. And if it reproves us, praise God. It should be a sweet oil to my head. If it corrects us, I need more of it. Not despise it. We need more of it. She made Jesus marvel. And I wonder if there will be people that will make Jesus marvel in this room and say, dear God, I'm not worthy, but I know you love me, and I want your word. I want it to be precious in my life, and I want to give that precious thing to someone else. And I want your word to be valuable in my life, and I want to give that valuable thing to someone else. She was intervening on behalf of her daughter. Wow. She didn't even want it for herself. She just wanted the crumbs to be able to help another person. Someone that needed help and wanted help. And that's who God wants us as Christians to reach. The seekers, those that are poor in spirit, those that are broken, those that see themselves in need of a Savior. God has given us a commission. And we must carry that commission and tell those people that are waiting to hear it. And yes, there's going to be struggles along the way, but beware of those struggles. And listen to the still small voice of the God and back off and continue to go on. Amen.